In this series, that one of the things we've talked about the first 2 weeks is that one of the most effective ways of dealing with anxiety, anxiousness, and worry, according to Dr. Archibald Hart in his book, The Anxiety Cure, is about, he says, that one of the most effective ways is changing your thinking habits. I find that a critical component in the life of devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Because that's what being a follower of Jesus Christ is all about. It's about life transformation. How God changes us from the inside out. That's why through every week of this, it's just that reminder that we find in Paul's letter to the Church of Rome that that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to transform us by changing the way we think. This requires a willful, intentional, purposeful participation on our part. And the reason that we would want to is what Paul said in that very, as he finishes up that verse, is so that we don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So last weekend we talked about how important it is to redirect. The first week, it was Jesus talking about not worrying about all this stuff and reorienting our lives to seek the kingdom of heaven first and how God promises that He'll add everything that we need. Last week, we talked about redirecting our thoughts and setting our minds on things above. Again, it's that reorientation of what we're going to put our minds on. So let me ask you a question this morning. If you were going to search for peace, where would you go? Short of you, if you hadn't grown up in Sunday school and church, and maybe some of you didn't know some of the Bible verses or you knew much about God, where would you go to look for peace? And one of the things that I thought about was, wouldn't it make sense to turn to someone who dwells in uninterrupted peace, and who offers to share it? And who would that be? The Creator God. Now, the peace that humans kind of can produce or maybe have in our lives, I think it's really fragile because it can be interrupted by failure. It can be interrupted by doubt. It can be interrupted by difficulty. It can be interrupted by disappointment, by guilt, by shame, by regret, by moments of sorrow, maybe from wrong choices, maybe mistreatment. And so if human peace is really fragile, then maybe the best thing we could do is turn to someone who dwells in uninterrupted peace, because peace is an attribute of God. It's one of His characteristics. One of the things that J.I. Packer writes in his book called Knowing God, and if you've never read it, I would encourage you to read this book by John Packer. And there's another one called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. Great books. You can find them on Amazon, christianbook.com. But this kind of helps you understand more about the heart and the nature and the character and the attributes of the Creator God. And it just helps you in anxious moments to kind of get something to grab a hold of. In his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer says this. He says, knowing about God is crucially important for the living of our lives. And then he goes on to say this. We are so cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. It's important to understand that. Because he goes on to say this. This world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know about God. A.W. Tozer, in his book, the knowledge of the holy makes a really brief statement. He says this. He says, the man who comes to a right belief about God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. And so the question of the day would be this, is what comes to your mind when you think about God? What do you know about Him, His nature, His character? That's critical, that's crucial, that's so important to find peace in anxious times. As I mentioned a minute ago, peace is an attribute of God. And whatever God is, God has, and then He is able to offer it to us. Maybe you've never thought about this, but just think with me for just a moment. That with God, there is never a lack of perfect peace. Do you ever stop to think that God is never stressed? He's never anxious. He never worries. He never doubts. He never fears. He never has a problem making up His mind. He's never surprised. And He lives in perfect calm. So when you put all these pieces from, a lot of people, I like to read the Old Testament, it's so boring. But when you put all the pieces from the Old Testament about God, all the way through the New Testament about who Jesus is, He's God in human flesh. He says to His inner circle of 12, the night is the last night with them. You find in John 14, He says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. And so don't be troubled. Or be afraid. This promise would be realized with the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit, who God, the Creator God, our Heavenly Father, would send to the world, who He promised would never leave us, that He would always be with us. And one of the things that happens as the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives, we work in this partnership with God as Paul would call it to walk by the Spirit. One of the things that Paul says produces as God produces, the Spirit produces in our life is from Galatians 5, love, joy, and peace. One of the things Paul told, and it's so important, so valuable to read, all these things that are so critical to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul told his young friend in the faith, Timothy, in his second letter to him about what God gives us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and say this with me, and of a sound mind. Do you see how critical this is about how God wants to transform us by changing the way we think, that we set our hearts and minds on things above, and that as we intentionally cooperate with God, as we walk by the Spirit, God produces from this gift that He gives us, not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He produces peace in our lives. And when you think about what John Packer wrote in his book, how this world is a strange and mad and painful place, and life, and it's disappointing and unpleasant for those who don't know God, and how temporal relief things can, just knowing more about God can be helpful, that He is a God of peace, that it's His attribute. He's never anxious. He never worries. Never doubts. Never fears. He's never surprised. And if you know all those things about him and you live in a growing relationship with him, then you can be at this point as we come to Philippians chapter 4 this morning, that you could say what Paul would say in his letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, where he would say this, then rejoice in the Lord, say it with me, always. When you hit those speed bumps in life, and life gets a little rocky, and you hit those anxious moments in life, where does your mind go? As we've talked about in week 2, about reorienting your life, you know, seeking first the kingdom of heaven, week 2, set your mind on things above. When you think about when I hit these moments, maybe you could be like what the psalmist wrote in the Old Testament, Psalm 121, when he would say, where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? And he answers his own question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who never gets rattled, who's never surprised, who lives in perfect peace, who is never anxious, never stressed, never worried about making the wrong decision. My help comes from him. Earlier in Psalm 42, he has these moments. I just spend a lot of time in the Psalms, particularly when I have those anxious moments in my life, because it's good to know that somebody else penned out those moments they were having in their lives. Because in Psalm 42, the psalmist says, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset deep inside me? Put your hope in God, who never gets rattled, who lives in perfect peace, who's never surprised, who doesn't live in fear, who never worries about making a wrong decision. Put your hope in him, because there's never a lack of peace with him. He's never stressed. He's never anxious. He never doubts. He's never surprised. And what have we talked about? One of the most important verses, if you don't learn anything else, if you don't take anything else away from this series, take away Isaiah 26 from this, because he reminds us that you keep in perfect peace all whose minds are fixed on you, and all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. So when Paul would say, rejoice in the Lord, he comes back again and he kind of reiterates it, kind of put the exclamation point on it. And he says in verse 4, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Now some of you are going, yeah, I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You have no idea what I'm looking at. But what he doesn't say is to do the happy dance about what you're going through. You don't have to do that. You know, act stupid, you know, and oh, it'll be, just act goofy and not like it's real what you're dealing with. Because it is. But the rejoicing isn't in what we're going through, what our circumstances are. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. The word rejoice in the original language just means that you have this sense of well-being. It's that you are still able to thrive well, regardless. It has the meaning of that there is this underlying thought that while everything is just chaotic, that in spite of all of that, you can still thrive, that you can still do well, because there's this underlying reality that I can trust God, who's never stressed, who never worries, who lives in perfect peace. He never worries about making a bad decision. He's never surprised. That's where this and this reality is. It's kind of where we started in week 1. Where if you could put yourself in that reality, that even no matter what is going on, that this sense of well-being that is in the Lord, that I can still thrive in there. No wonder the psalmist would say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will thrive and do well, have a sense of well-being in it. These words, you know, just so you know that, well, yeah, that's pretty Pollyannish. Anybody that think that that could be a reality. But you have to remember who wrote these words. He's writing to a church that when he had been there to visit them, he was flogged. He was thrown in prison, left to die, him and his ministry companion, Silas. This was all a result because they cast a demon out of a young girl that she was demon possessed, and they were using her as a fortune teller to make money. And when they did that, they saw their loss of revenue, they had them arrested, flogged, and put into prison. So life wasn't always easy. But he's the guy that's saying that in the midst of all of that, I can rejoice and thrive and still do well. He would write in his letter to the church at Corinth words like this. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because he rejoiced. Because in that, he had that sense of well-being. Calm, I can still thrive in this. Because he would move on through that letter and say things like, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed. Our light and momentary troubles are going to achieve for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. There it is again. Reorientation, redirect. Our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we get back to Philippians 4 and verse 8. And Paul talks about rejoicing in the Lord. And he goes on to say this. Come on, let's say it all together. Do not be anxious about anything. About anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And it should be verse 8, but he goes on to say this. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I think God can handle any conversation we have with him. He'd rather hear from you than not hear from you. But one of the things that I'm finding out about prayer is that as much as I talk, that if I'll be quiet, I'll hear from him too. And then whatever you know about God and what you believe about God has a lot to do with how you deal with anxiety, how it impacts your mind, your ability to find peace in anxious times. Because people become worried, anxious, fearful, when we no longer see the God of peace, his wisdom, his power for goodness. Sometimes we are anxious in the fact that we forget that God is all wise. He's all knowing. We wonder if God is able to deliver, if he's strong enough, if he's good enough to prevent disaster. And even if disaster strikes, what will be that God wants to bring through all of that? On your card this week, quote from Greg Braden says, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. What you know about God, what you believe about Him, that you've got to remember He dwells in perfect peace, perfect calm. A beautiful picture of that is even the night that Jesus, His disciples, He'd sent them off on the other side. He said, I'll meet you over on the other side. And the storm comes up and they're panicked and fearing, and Jesus walks out to them and all He says is, peace, be still. And it can happen that fast. But God's not anxious. He's not worried. He has no fears. He has no trouble making up His mind. He's never surprised. He never has a problem that He doesn't have a solution for. We have to remember those words, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love, of a sound mind. And He says, so you take those petitions, your prayers, with thanksgiving to God. And in verse 7, He says, and the peace of God, which transcends, or which means goes above and beyond, which is so much more superior than anything we can imagine, and the peace of God, which is all of that, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because what you know about Him, what you believe about Him, can help you do well, thrive. You don't have to be anxious and worry, and it will guard your heart and your mind, because there's that promise that God will keep in perfect peace those whose thoughts are fixed on Him, who trust in Him. And it's difficult to explain. And I think even somebody asked me one time, can you explain what this means, that surpasses the peace of God, that surpasses all human understanding? And the only way that I know to describe it is this. It's hard to describe because it's beyond human understanding. And maybe you've experienced in your life, in those, maybe there was some big event in your life, and as a follower of Jesus Christ, in spite of what maybe a lot of other people would have just come, the wheels would have come off, they would have been in huge panic, just needed medication or whatever, there was just this calm that came to your life. Because you just knew that in spite of it, you were able to thrive and do well and rejoice in the Lord because of who He is. Where does my help come? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So how do you explain that? It's supernatural. It's the work that the Holy Spirit does and produces in the life of those that live in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's something that God gives. And again, so much of this is about God transforming us by changing the way we think. In verses 8 and 9, He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about that. What do you fill your mind with? The reason so many people have nothing to hang on to and put the weight of their life on is because the stuff that they have filled their minds with is just empty and void of any substance, of any hope, of any peace. He says, whatever you have learned, the value of what we do here on Sunday, the value of your own personal quiet time with God, the value is not in information. It is in putting it into practice. He says, the things that you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, He says, put it into practice. And then the peace of God will be with you. When the diagnosis is bad news, when somebody's decisions change your life plans, when the stock market crashes, and you lose a huge part of your retirement savings, when the boss calls you into his office and says your position's been eliminated, where does your mind go? What do you dwell on? Do you go to the worst possible scenario? Do you pray? Do you rejoice? Because whatever you dwell on will have a huge bearing on how you manage and how you survive. The first words that often people say when they find themselves in those places is, I can't. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. I can't handle this. I can't survive this. I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe that God, the God who says He loves me, would let this happen to me. And people, as we talked about earlier, that struggle with anxiety question their faith. They question God's presence in their lives. They feel at times that God is distant. In verses 12 and 13, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Now that's the picture of rejoicing in the Lord. He's still able to have a sense of well-being, to thrive in spite of everything that he had dealt with, everything that he endured. Because he goes on to say in verse 13, I can. I can do all of this. Not on my own, but through him. Where does my help come from? The maker of heaven and earth. I can do all of this. I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. But I got to come back to the point where Paul was, where I understand that rejoicing is that I live in this sense of well-being, calm, reassurance, that I can thrive in the midst of all of that, not in my circumstances, but in him. My rejoicing is in the Lord. And what I know about God and what I believe about him helps me find peace in anxious times. Because where do I go? Where does my help come from? The maker of heaven and earth. Why so sad down deep inside? What's the answer? Put your hope in God. The God who dwells in perfect peace. Who's never stressed, never anxious, never worries, never doubts, never fears. Never has problem making up his mind. He's never surprised. He lives in perfect calm. And the promise is, those who live there with him, Isaiah 26:3, they keep in perfect peace. All who trust in him with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. So let me finish up. When you would say to me, I can't, I would tell you, I agree with you. You can't. You need supernatural help. And it's available. What do you say there in verse 13? I can. Not on my own, but I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. I have to reorient my thoughts. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So there's no reason to be upset deep down inside. I've got to come back and put my hope in God. Rejoice in him always. Always. And in that, you can find that supernatural peace, the peace of God that transcends, that goes above and beyond, that it's far superior than human peace. And it will guard your heart and your mind. What you do believe and what you know about God really, really will help you find peace in anxious times. Let's pray. So one more time, Father, my prayer is really simple again. Just as Paul would say, the things that we've heard and that we've learned, I pray we would put them into practice so that the peace of God would be with us. Even Jesus talked about how the storms in life do come along. But it's the wise man who had put the word of God into practice in his everyday ordinary life that how their house stood, and the one that didn't was referred to as foolish, and everything just crashed around them. So I pray that we would find that perfect peace that will guard our hearts and minds as we remember where our help comes from, the maker of heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm always around at the end of the service. Somebody needs somebody to talk to pray with. Maybe you've kind of gone through one of those anxious times in your moments. You'd like to just have somebody to visit with, pray about. Even about how do I move in? How do I even transition to take this step across the line of belief and really live in this transformation relationship with Jesus Christ? I'd love to visit with you about that.